I can tell you about my first attempt at playing guitar. It was a disaster. It was so bad. I was about 5 years old. And my grandfather sent me a Fender Stratocaster from New York to Puerto Rico. It was a black guitar. And it looked so cool. And there was this little amplifier that came with it. It was I think it's called the Fender Frontman, a little 10-watt amplifier. I really wish I had kept that guitar now. But the reason why I say it was a disaster is because I really didn't know what to do with the thing. I ended up with this instrument in my hands, and all I remember truly is that that instrument became a toy. And as all toys in the hands of hyper kids, they probably were more like weapons than anything else. So the purpose for the instrument changed a little bit, but I still remember that guitar. I did not learn anything as far as guitar is concerned with that instrument. It just affected me so at the time. I'll never know what happened to it, truly. It just disappeared. Now, 2 years later, I was already in second grade, and my dad gave me a present. It was a nylon string guitar. And he also showed me how to play chords on the guitar. To the point by the end of that school year, I remember I could carry a tune enough that I could play together with other kids. And till today, I still remember that time when we all gathered and got into the back of this truck, and there was a conga player and a bongo player and me with a little guitar, by the way. That guitar is here. And I can still remember. Mataron Elena, mataron Elena, mataron Elena, y se la llevaron para el hospital. That's all we were playing. Just two chords. And that was enough. I mean, with a little bit of rhythm on the side. We were in this truck, you know, the field day, right? You know, they celebrate field days out here. Well, we were doing this parade around the school all the way to the park. And to me, that was the big experience. I was playing in a band. Now, playing and singing seems to be something normal to me, no, but that's not how it really started. At first, it was really, really hard. It was hard to place the fingers on the frets and the strings. It was hard to memorize the forms and the different chords. And sometimes they hurt. And it hurt. And you wanted to give up. I don't know if you've ever experienced something like that as you're learning anything. It's hard sometimes. My dad would take me to a hall where there were guitar players who gave lessons. And I still remember vividly this guy who was more like a hippie. He had a large Carlos Santana afro, you know, I can't forget. And he had really long nails on his strumming hand. Years later, he became my friend. His name is Mike. And I think he's passed away now. Now, mind you, I was a little kid. And these experiences just kept me interested. My dad just did enough with me that I just kept at it. He gave me the opportunity to take classic guitar lessons. For 2 years, I worked at it. But again, being a hyper kid, which didn't make it easy, at some point, things really started to click with this instrument to the point where I just felt more comfortable with it. I did not forget my old Fender guitar. I really wanted to play hard rock, so that's why I didn't continue my lessons. I still do want to play hard rock. And I can. If I really wanted to. But truly, the playing experience has stayed with me, obviously, throughout my life, because I was exposed to it and then trained in it to the point where it became somewhat of a second nature thing. It doesn't mean that I did not have times that were difficult, where I doubted my abilities. I still do, by the way. I was many times disgusted with my limitations when I couldn't do something that I really wanted to do. I've had slumps in my playing. I didn't play for years at one point. And when I sat down to play, only the same two chords, you know. So I've experienced the ups and downs that come with the trade. But I've also have experienced the joy of it coming back. That moment when you say, wait a minute, there's something here, and you discover something new again. Now, playing with a group, playing a different instrument, stretching yourself, learning from others as you share your craft with others. That was amazing. I remember Kevin. Kevin was a keyboard player at the church in Lexington, Kentucky. Boy, this guy, he was a natural. He took up the keyboards. He learned on his own, never needed a teacher. If you could tell him, hey, can you play this? And he would figure it out in a minute or two. Hey, can you play something like a salsa rhythm? What is that? Oh, it's like, dum, de, dum, dum, dum. And he would say, okay. In a minute, this guy would have it down. He was good. He was a natural. It just came to him, and I was jealous. He was so gifted. But he taught me a lot. And this is much like what the life of faith is like. When we start, it's difficult. It's hard. Things don't click. We have to work at it. Sometimes, for some people, it just comes easy, right? It's like a natural for them. This is what I needed, and it just clicks in their lives. But for others, it's like a struggle. We're seeking, we're looking. Some people do have that gift. Others, like I, not necessarily. Some people just play. Now, and the way we may have failed experiences with it, until one day it starts to make sense. You learn, you practice, you read, you share with others, you learn from teachers, you listen. And at some point, the inspiration may lessen, it may wane. Your commitment may even decline temporarily. But you're still a Christian. Just like a musician, you're still connected. There's something there. And what do all Christians have in common? Christ. Right? Christ. Just like for musicians, there's music. For those who are in Christ, there is that center. That one who is the one that supplies to us the spirit that we need. Now, some people may like jazz, others country. Yeah, any takers? Okay, there's some. All right. Others may prefer classical or rock. Maybe some prefer acoustic or electric.
Acoustic.
What's common to all, right? The commonality to all musicians is there's a language. There's a way to express. There's music. There's that muse. The thing, I call it. That thing. That just joins us together. And that expression that we can have with our instruments or with our voices that cannot be expressed otherwise is special. To me, being in Christ is the same thing. It is special. There is something there that just lifts us up. Provides joy in our lives, provides something. And this is how Paul puts it in Ephesians 4, as we read in verse 4. There is one body, one spirit, just as you were called to be to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is above all. And through all and in all. That's the common thread. That's what joins us together. That's what makes us one. The music, if you will, right? That's the commonality. That's what makes us connect and click. But listen to verse 7. But each of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. But each of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. Now, that is the personality. That's the oomph that each one of us has. That's the special thing that Jimi Hendrix brought to the table, right? Or Stevie Ray Vaughan. When you hear any of these two players, you know who they are. Just like when you hear the voice of Sandy Patty, right? Angela's favorite. You know who this gal is. That's what makes them special. It's the same thing. We're given a grace according to Christ's gift. And that's like the great gift that Rhonda has. Or Angela. Or Ruth. Or Wendy. Or Jamie. Or Sophia. Or the gift that Scott has. It's special, by the way. I don't know, I'm jealous too. Chuck, David, and Ellen, Shirley, Regina, Norma, Melinda, or Joy. I mean, You know, each one of us is got that special thing. Jan, Kathy. Each according to Christ's gift. And you see, that's why we need each other. That's why coming together in congregation is special. Like a band needs the different instruments and the different instrumentalists to make it happen, to make it click. Each one with their own muse, their own licks, their own style, that little something that makes it them. When it comes together, you can create something beautiful. But it doesn't end there. And it's not all about talent. Or the things that we're gifted with and the lessons that we learn is really, really about maturity. Paul again helps us, the Ephesians, those Ephesians who live in the greater Denver area, he helps us with this text. And he says, in verse 14, we must no longer be children, tossed to and fro and blown away about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into him who is the head. Now, listen to that. Into him that is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth in building itself up. And the key word is in love. Now, I don't know about you, but Chuck told me in last week that it was a great sermon that I shared. But that's not because I had a great sermon, but it was a great passage. He says, you could have just stood up there and just read it and go, and that was good enough, right? Truly, it was a great passage. And to me, this is also a great passage, but it's one that challenges us. Because when Paul calls us to maturity, usually that means that we need to be prepared to address our own selves in light of adversity. Hello? I'm going to be done in another Puerto Rican minute, so relax. You see, he mentions this key word, grace, and how we have been given this grace, each one of us, and anchoring ourselves in that grace, the grace of the one who has given it to us, is how we develop. But we must develop with the overall purpose in mind. Anyone who's been part of a team knows that the most difficult thing in being in a team is being in a team. Anybody? The most difficult thing about working together is working together. Because you see, what happens is we have all these gifts. We have all these characteristics that come in this package, and we usually concentrate in that. Because that's what comes natural. That's what comes easy. But when we have another member of the team who has the same gifts or more, what happens? Come on, what? Right? Competition. Now, it's a matter of there's a tension because I want to get the ball. I want to be the receiver that gets all the passes from the quarterback. No, I don't want one. I don't want two. I want all of them because I have to shine. Anybody that's worked with worship teams knows. Anybody that's worked with musicians knows. Musicians are the worst. Prima donnas. I mean, we're just like, no, I play. You know, I'm the one that has to shine. You know, there's only one thing that I can say of a saving grace for musicians. Bassists and drummers. Love them. Love them. You know why? They sit in the back. They just keep rhythm. They just keep that bass beat. And you don't hear anything else, but you hear the rest of the band, and you say, man, that's a great band. Right? And here's the lead guitarist, just, and there's this bassist, they're just sitting there, and they're doing the thing, and nobody really knows. But they're really the ones that carry the group. You see, we're so gifted that it really is easy that it may become all about us. And remember, it's not about you. Although it is. You remember that, right? It's not about you, although it is. Because you are the one that is here. You're the one that has been called. You're the one that Jesus has transformed or is transforming in your life. You're the one that is working through this, just as I am. Now, children have characteristics, right? They have personality. And they have gifts, which they need to develop as they go on in life. So they need experiences to develop those gifts, right? And I believe that every one of us has been a child at one point. I think I remember that, right? So we need experiences. You know, we need to have that experience of playing in a band. Or in the basketball team, or in the football team. And when they come together, you know, that's where things, you know, start to work its way out. It becomes all about the gifted one. It becomes all about my friend. It's the one that I like. Instead of, how do we do this together? So, it is important for kids to have those experiences, to share those experiences, so that they get exposed to the dynamic, to the conflict, to the tension. But at some point, we need to grow, right? At some point, we are not children anymore. We come together and we start to understand that we are here for something larger than ourselves. Because we are so self-absorbed sometimes that we may lose sight of that purpose. And I think that that's what Paul was trying to address with those Ephesians. Even professionals. Have you seen a professional football game lately? Or basketball? Right. You see that they get mad because they're not getting the ball. You see that? They're like, man, I'm being paid millions of dollars. Come on. Right? Feed me. I'm the one And when that happens, something just goes awry in the team effort. Things do not click. Anybody remember the Eagles last year? If you follow football and you follow what the Eagles did, they were not necessarily the prime team, but they did become the prime team. Because, not because they had all this great talent, although they did, but because they came together as a team and they worked with each other. And they supported each other to the point where they were winning and they lost their main guy. Right? Their quarterback, down. 3 games to go in the season, they win the Super Bowl. To me, that's a team. It's not about one person. So even professional band players experience this thing. And I'm just going to say this quote that really challenged me. It's so easy to make it about ourselves. It's so easy to be deceived. But self-deception leads to self-destruction.
Say it again.
All right. I will say this again. It's so easy to make it about ourselves. And it's so easy to be deceived. But self-deception leads to self-destruction. And notice the self part. So this is what Paul helps us with, and this is what he points out. He's trying to make the Ephesians look at themselves as part of the one. We know the conflict already, right? We know the conflict between the Jews and the Gentiles. We know what they're trying to do, and the Gentiles are scrambling in their head trying to figure out, what is it with us? Are we in or not? And Paul is guiding them and saying that you are part of the one because we are all part of the one, and you don't have to be like the others. You have your own things to bring. And he's trying to get them straightened out and to, as they call, equip them for the ministry. This is what happens, and this is what we hear in verse 12. I think we have it up there, right? This is the direction. This is where he's pointing at. To equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, verse 13, until all of us come to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. To maturity. To the measure of the full stature of Christ. You see, we have one Lord to work ourselves up to. You got that?
Yeah.
I mean, that was the extended version of the title. You have a brief title, one Lord, and we love that. But we forget our part. The part where we are the ones that need to work ourselves up to that team. That idea of us playing music together for the benefit of the one Lord. That's the purpose. That we come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. That's the purpose. So let's not be like children, seeking to fulfill our own aspirations, our own desires, our own dreams, or whatever it is that we are just thinking about. But seek to develop our skills and our gifts for the building of the body. for the unity of faith and maturity. Oh my gosh. I'm talking to a bunch of people that most are over 70.
Okay.
See, maturity is not about age, right? Oh my gosh, I'm on a roll. I've been getting in trouble every single Sunday for the last month. To the measure of the full stature of Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We need to keep focused on that one. The one who unites us to accomplish the purposes that he has for us. I would like for us to sing together.